this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
The Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. It goes on to list some of the habits of people who are living by the sinful nature, and then it goes on to say that if we live by the Spirit, that we can have the fruit. So Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So today we are looking at gentleness. So while we've been looking at these fruits of the Spirit, it's dropped into my head and my heart a few times. I'm like, I would have thought humility would be in that mix. Just a thought. Well, then there's other things that I thought maybe would have been in there. But anyway, this week, God showed me Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, rules for holy living. That is like the last word, so it is what was meant to be on there. So put to death, therefore. So this is talking, basically, it's the same story that we read in Galatians 5. We also see in Colossians. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Ouch. Just saying, this week I'm reading that and going like, Okay, so when I tell you this stuff, this is not me saying like I've got it worked out. This is me going like, this is what I'm learning, right? God's showing this stuff to me because sometimes my mouth moves faster than my conscience, and we have to fix that. So do you ever feel rage? Is that just me? Right? So sometimes, you know, sometimes we feel, and sometimes rightly so, that some people just need a good smack in the head, right? We don't do that. No, that's naughty. We don't do that. Okay. Gentleness. Gentleness. Okay. We happen to have a bird flying around in our house and a cat. And my cat has not eaten the bird thus far. The cat has been very good at actually just walking away. Is that gentleness? It's probably more like self-control, like no spoilers. You'll have to come back next week for that one. So this here is really like, you know, that cat's working hard. Kudos, kitty. So it is something that we can choose to do. So if we go skip, thanks, BB, sorry, they're not in the... I talk out of order sometimes. Down to verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So there's that crossover where the fruits of the Spirit have like this whole bundle, what I call the spiritual fruit soup. It's not a fruit salad. Like a fruit salad, you can go, I don't like the kiwi fruit, and pick it out. But a soup, you kind of, like it's mushed in, right? They all work kind of in partnership. So while I'm looking at gentleness, the word that keeps coming up for me this week has been humility. And then when I look at this verse in Colossians, and it says, clothe yourself. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Going to assume everybody here dressed themselves today. Some people put in more effort than others on a daily basis. I admire those who put in a lot of effort. I don't. just saying, I get the job done and we move on, because it's not that's not an important thing to me. But, you know, some people take a little bit longer and put on their eyelashes and their tie and their skinny jeans and things. But that's a choice. When you clothe yourself, you make all of those choices, okay? If you're going to come in your havies or you're going to come in your work boots, right? So you're making a choice when you go out of your house in the morning. What are you clothing yourself with? So when we're leaving the house in the morning, have we followed the instructions and clothed ourselves? This one's a choice. So the fruit of the Spirit we've talked about, it happens when you stay connected to the vine. That's in John 15, right? We'll bear fruit when we're connected to the vine. We've talked about Psalm 1. We're planted by the streams, so we're drawing from that stream, that living water, and that's when the tree produces fruit. The tree doesn't go, apples? No, oranges. That's not how it works. When you're connected to the tree, you get what the tree makes. Same with the vine, okay? So when we stay connected to God, these are the things that organically come through. So when we look at it in Colossians 3 and it's saying, clothe yourself, then we are making a choice. So how do we do this? Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So if we are looking to God to help us have that gentleness, that fruit of gentleness in our life, we're staying connected to the vine. We're going to the great high priest who has been through all these things and responds with gentleness. We have mercy and grace that he will produce that fruit in our life as we make the choice to stay connected, that he will be faithful. So why not ask Jesus to help us? All right, we can be the kitty that gently pats the little bird, all right? So when that person's irritating and not doing things the way you want them to do, Jesus, help me. Gentleness, compassion, kindness, those things that he will when we make the choice to clothe ourselves and stay connected. I had a... We've moved house recently and I've just been hanging all the pictures up around the house. If we can skip to the last picture there. This one was one that was from my mum. I've just hung it on my wall. And so when we were packing up my mum's house, so she's in heaven now, if you didn't know. So my brothers and I went through a process of like, you take this, you take that, I'm having this. And it was good of like all of the memories that were attached to the things. And this picture ended up in my house. This was my mum's. And I've never really contemplated this picture before. I hung it on the wall this week, and as soon as I looked at it, thought of my mum, and then Psalm 23 dropped into my heart, and I was like, oh, it's the green pasture. The photo didn't really capture the green, you know, the colour's never the same really, is it? But that still, gentle waters and the little sheep in the background there, like there's a shepherd in this story. You can't see this shepherd, but he's there. And it just, this week, contemplating this message, and I just realised that even in grief of losing my mum, that God has shown up for me so many times in gentle ways. Like God gives us these examples of gentleness in our lives. So that was, you know, and like I say, the... spiritual fruit soup, like it's peace, it's patience, there's goodness, there's faithfulness, it's all there. It all just mushes into one delicious soup. Like you need all of the parts. So, who's ever said the words, be careful what you pray for. Okay? So has anyone ever actually prayed, God, show me patience, humility? Has anyone actually done it? Carmela, yeah? I can imagine that you absolutely would have done that. Yeah. So a few years ago, I prayed for God to teach me humility. And people go, oh, ouchy. Because we, our natural bodies, we automatically assume that means humiliation is how you be humbled to learn humility. So I'm just going to share with you how God taught me humility in the most gentle way that I did not see coming, because I was like bracing for the shame or, you know, what felt so scary. So it was a day in my office. Someone walked in and gave me a gift, which was so random. I was confused. I can't remember what the gift was, but it made me go, huh, thanks. And blow me down, an hour later, someone else walked in and gave me another gift. And that was somebody that didn't surprise me that they would bring me a gift. But I was like, that's so weird that that happened twice in the same day, so much so that my colleague was like, is it your secret birthday or what's going on here? And I'm like, I really don't know. I don't understand. Like, that's so random. No one's ever, let me just, for context, no one's ever given me gifts in the office like that. And now I've got two within the hour. So anyway, we carry on and someone walks in with a pot plant and hands it over to me. And when I looked at her, I just went, I get what this is. Okay, so humility for me in that moment looked like, that's me that gives things to other people. And I just realised that this little bit of pride coming up in me was that I'm that person, not this person, to be able to receive. And like the overwhelming sense of, okay, God's just dropped. This was three different gifts from three different people, but it was a gift from God in that moment, what I received, in the most gentle way. So I would say, don't be careful what you pray for. Be authentic in what you pray for, because God doesn't come, like God can come as the God of war and, you know, he can blow you off the earth if he chooses. He has that capacity, but that's not how he shows up. If you authentically come and ask that he will teach you in the most gentle way, like we read in Hebrews here, that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. So should you find yourself feeling rage, malice, envy, all of those things, you can read all about it. We just need to remember to stay connected to the vine, plant your feet near the stream, the living water, look for the fruit, ask God to bring that fruit, that gentleness that he can give. We can make a choice. Keep your hands to yourself until you're ready. Okay, it grows in us. It grows on us when we stay connected. We choose our actions, but God helps us to grow. Okay, thanks, Hayley.
I'm short, so I have to stand in the middle so everyone can see me. When Kerry first said to us that we're going to tag team preach today, I was a bit interested to know how that was going to look like. And it wasn't until last night I suddenly had the thought of, oh my goodness, what if we get up here and we preach the same message? And I'm like, nah, we'll double down, it'll be worth it. But how good is our God? We did not. I was tempted to text you last night. I'm like, nah, leave it. I'm like, what if we get the same Bible verse? I've tangled myself in my hair, so you're going to have to be patient with me. Gentleness. Here we go. Time and time again, we've heard that it's in deepening our relationship with God and getting to know him better that makes a difference between us growing the fruit of the Spirit, yeah? So when we spend time developing that relationship, the fruit grows. The more time I spend with Jesus, the more the Holy Spirit helps me be gentle. My life started going off the rails when I was 14 and moved to Whyalla. And by 17, I was wild. I was so filled with rage that at times there was nothing anybody could do to calm me down. I could be quiet and friendly as long as everything was going my way. But if something went wrong, if someone upset me, or God forbid they were rude to me, then all hell would break loose. I was a cupboard door slamming fishmonger's wife screaming swear word, foul mouth, rage kitty who would not rest until she had metaphorically destroyed the person in front of her by tearing down any little part of their appearance, exposing any weakness that I perceived in their character or actions. I never backed down from a fight, and someone only had to look at me sideways for me to start that slow burn. It was only worse when I began drinking alcohol. And my poor boys were raised by the worst version of me. I was not a kind person, and there was certainly no gentleness in me. It was my way or the highway. In my defence, part of it was due to unresolved trauma from the things that I'd been through and undiagnosed ADHD. But mostly, it was because I wasn't walking with the Lord at that time. So when it came to pass that I came back to the Lord in 2015... without me even noticing, the process of softening began inside me. It got easier after the diagnosis and medication for ADHD, but we all know that the real work was done by the Holy Spirit before that. Some incredible healing took part in place for me when I started doing my diploma of ministry and learning about prayer from the Australia Prayer Network. There's still quite a lot of work to be done. As Joe mentioned before, I'm definitely not a completed project. And my former youth group kids and anyone who spent any time with me will know that one of the most common phrases out of my mouth when challenged is, "You, me, car park, now." So these days it's said tongue in cheek, and I would never lay hands on somebody unless, of course, it was to pray for them. Kathy's like, "You." So what is this gentleness that we speak of? Why don't we let Paul tell us what it is, or rather, what it's not? 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 to 7, he says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Not that laying on of hands, I'm sure it was the prayer hands. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline." The first thing that this reminds us is that it's not a passive process. Paul tells us to fan into flames. That's a call to action. We have a part to play in gaining gentleness. And yes, it's a gift, but we need to use and grow that gift. And the second thing is that gentleness is not being a doormat and letting people walk all over you. It's not being timid or shy, being afraid to speak up in case you upset someone, and it's not staying silent when something needs to be said. God has given us a spirit of power and love and self-control, and sometimes tough things need to be said. For example, if I was up here preaching with black kiwi seeds in my teeth from my breakfast, I need to be told. How you tell me is that gentleness. And if someone is acting a fool and they need to be told to quit it, gentleness is knowing how forceful and how powerful to be in those situations. I remember a girl from high school having a typical high school drama in the girls' toilets. And as she went to leave the bathroom, she slammed the door open with both hands. And the same door had been used by thousands of us over the years. As long as I could remember, that door had been there. But the problem was, when she slammed the door, the part that she hit was a glass panel. And she went through that glass panel. She was way too forceful, way too powerful. Every other person who'd opened that before had used gentleness and had no problem. When she came in, there was a huge problem. It was such a mess, and it made the initial drama so much more dramatic. as only high school girls can. And I wonder how many times we've done that with our words. How many times have we shattered the person in front of us by not being gentle with our words? As Joe said, gentleness is choosing. It's a choice. We choose to react to people and situations in a calm and kind way when we choose gentleness. Tuesday at work, the phone rang. As Joe said, we've all had a shocking week. Some people have had worse than others. But this week was my week of being yelled at by customers on the phone for things that were no fault of my own. So Tuesday at work, the phone rang. And I answered it to a customer who was incredibly irate. The layer hadn't shown up at her house. He was half an hour late. I work at a flooring shop, so she's looking for a carpet layer. Actually, it was hard floor. Her laminate was due to go down, and the laminate flooring specialist installer was half an hour late. Everything was wrong. She was terribly inconvenienced. Her life was important too. She had things to do. She was a busy lady. I wasn't good enough, Hayley. I should have done better. Nobody had told her anything, and it went on and on and on. I tried to explain to her that she had been contacted on Friday and explained that he wouldn't be there until lunchtime, but she was adamant that she hadn't, and she kicked off again, and it was wild. Now, old Hayley would have tore strips off that poor lady. New creation Hayley remained calm, even though my heart hurt so bad. The injustice of being told that I'd done something wrong when I knew I hadn't, and just the reality of being spoken to in such a manner. The audacity. I tried to explain the best I could, and I apologised at the end of the conversation for her inconvenience. And she was still livid, but she wasn't yelling at me anymore, which was progress. I hung up the phone and I was just quiet for a minute, and I just thought, wow, I am so thankful that I know Jesus. Because there is no way that I could have got through that and still been employed if it was the 2014 version of Hayley. 2.0, so much calmer. So 2 days later, in walks this customer. And I'm not going to lie, for a minute my heart stopped. Until I saw that she was carrying a bunch of flowers and a box of chocolates. She came in with her head bowed down low, and she was mortified. She was apologising profusely. She was devastated by the way that she'd spoken to me and yelled at me and the things that she'd said. Because after I'd spoken to her, I'd told my boss that this phone conversation had happened, and she'd rung her and told her, "No, I spoke to you on Friday." She'd remember after all that that she had been spoken to on Friday and told that the job was going to be delayed slightly. And the phone records proved it. So you know she'd done the research. But in all of that, her comment was, "You didn't even get angry at me." She could not understand how I had remained calm on the phone. And I just had the moment to say to her, "Do you know, it's okay, because when I go home at night time, I talk to Jesus about people." We're so thankful. She admitted that she was being horrible and that she was the one that was in the wrong, and she just couldn't understand how somebody who'd been treated so unfairly and could show so much grace. I was able to tell her that she was forgiven, and when she started to cry, I offered her a hug and she took the hug. And then she unloaded everything that had been going on in her life And I was able to stand with her in a quiet moment of the shop and just hear her heart and how bad her weekend had been and how much drama was going on. "It's never about the pancakes," was the expression I told her. You see, the youth mum's in the kitchen cooking breakfast and she burns the pancakes. She cracks the poops, throws the saucepan in the sink, slams the cupboard door, kicks the cat, yells at the kids, has a fight with her husband, and everyone's like, "All of that over the pancakes?" And the expression is, it's not about the pancakes. It's always about whatever's going on behind the scenes. And when I shared this with her, she was like, "That's exactly it." But to be that spirit-filled gentleness, the work that the Holy Spirit has done in the years since I came back to the Lord, to be a witness to that in action was incredible. Why is this important? Because of Proverbs 15:1. Allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work in us is incredibly important, because Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." If I'd responded in old Hayley ways, it would have been on for young and old. But I would like to say, as Joe said as well, if we can all commit to that practice of being gentle, and to do that by spending time with the Lord in prayer, reading about Jesus, and allowing the Holy Spirit to change us. When you're praying, "Holy Spirit, make me gentle," it needs to be with an authenticity that you know why you're asking that. You know why it's important, and you know the outcome of what happens when we're gentle, when we soften our heart. To allow the defences to go down and not be that rage kitty that I was, to be that gentle little patting kitty that Joe showed us. It takes real courage to let go of the version of us that we were when we needed those things to be our protector. But now that we've got Jesus, we don't need to be anything but gentle and trust that he will sort it out. He's in control. He's our guarder of our reputation. He's the restorer of our wrongs. He will bring the flowers and chocolates. And he makes it all right in his time. I think that's our homework, Joe. What do you reckon? We set these kids some homework? If you are ready, and when you are ready, in your quiet place, in your quiet room, just have a word with the Holy Spirit and just ask him all of these fruits that we've been learning about. One by one, Lord. God bless you. One by one. Bless each and every one of us. But help us to grow the fruit. And I tell you, there are so many times in life when you want to pick up your sword and swing your sword. When you've been treated unjustly or unfairly. When life's kicking you in the guts. Put down the warhammer and just be gentle and trust the Lord to sort it out for you. Bless you heaps, guys.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.